W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Thursday's 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion finds President Biden in Europe to take part in commemorations.
President Biden kicks off his visit to France, a trip the White House is calling extremely moving and important. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
An opportunity for him to say thank you directly to the veterans who saved democracy, saved the free world, and set the stage for the decades of peace and prosperity that followed.
The president meets with veterans who participated in the D-Day landing, and he'll deliver a speech that Sullivan says will focus on the sacrifices made 80 years ago and how there's an obligation to continue that mission to fight for freedom.
ABC's Karen Travers. Responding to a fire in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park, Illinois, firefighters found the bodies of two men, brothers, shot to death. They needed 60 votes. They got 51. The Senate failing to pass the Right to Contraception Act that would have guaranteed contraception nationwide. This is ABC News. A federal trial underway in Los Angeles stands to impact the way fans watch the NFL.
For about a decade, a group of Sunday ticket subscribers made up of bar and restaurant owners and residential customers have tried to take on the NFL. The Sunday ticket subscribers claim in their antitrust case that the NFL has forced broadcasters to only show games in their region or local area so that if someone wants to see an out-of-market game, they have to pay hundreds of dollars for Sunday ticket, claiming the NFL has artificially jacked up the price of Sunday ticket because there is no competition to it. Alex Stone, EBC News.
And for those with a really big thirst,
you may see it there stacked tall in the liquor store of your choice. A 180-can pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon, the red, white, and blue container commemorating the 180th anniversary of PBR. Forbes says the 180-pack holds 36 packs of beer, coming in at 2,160 ounces. In case you're really thirsty.
ABC Sherry Preston. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And it's like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lan and Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream. Right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous.
Okay,
Jimmy, where's the guy get
that? Do you have a picture?
I don't.
That's phenomenal.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The warden at the maximum security state prison in Waupun is facing up to 3.5 years in prison. Randall Happ is charged with felony misconduct after an investigation into 4 inmate deaths. 8 other people have been charged as well. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt spoke in a press conference Wednesday about making changes to Wisconsin's prison system.
I would ask why not? One new prison could replace 2 prisons, or 2 renovated prisons would be much better than what we have now.
An internal Department of Corrections investigation is ongoing. Parents and teachers of Southside Elementary School in Madison are calling for the removal of their principal and assistant principal. An 18-page letter of complaint was sent to the Madison School District on Tuesday. Parents assert that school administrators don't listen to them. They also claim school leaders ignore bullying and punish black and brown students disproportionately. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee gets swept in Philadelphia. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. For the third straight day, the Brewers' bats stayed quiet, and Milwaukee was shut out by the Phillies 2-0 on Wednesday. It's the first time the Brewers have been swept this season. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers are dealing with several injuries right now.
Look at the situation we're in. We've used 11 starters in 61 games. I mean, you know, he certainly qualifies as a guy that could fill a role for us with all our 9 guys on the IL.
Milwaukee was outscored 7-2 in the series. They'll have a day off before heading to play Detroit for 3 games against the Tigers starting Friday. Tonight is the first game of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics host the Dallas Mavericks in the best-of-7 series. The Packers wrap up OTAs today ahead of next week's mandatory minicamp. Training camp opens up next month. Today is the start of the state high school softball tournament in Madison. You can follow along on the WIAA's website. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers, even some rumbles of thunder here in the overnight. Upper 50s by daybreak. West winds on the breezy side. In fact, that breeze stays up on Thursday. More showers developing in the afternoon. Increasing clouds with highs reaching the middle 60s. It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, it's day four of Biden's top 100. We'll be joined by Isabella Devan. We'll be talking about how monopolies steal money from you and what Joe Biden is doing about
it. The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Fancy Brian Kelly in for Greg Bach, who is still under the weather, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha.
Good morning, Jane.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to do so. And I hope Greg is not listening and I hope he's asleep.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He better be.
Yeah. Do you want me to text him and see?
Yeah, we should text him. Hey, man, are you asleep?
Are you resting? We just wanted to make sure you were getting
just
enough
rest.
Just
want to make sure that you're resting.
Exactly.
Emergency!
We have a very, very busy show coming up today. Mm-hmm. Coming up at 10:30, we're going to be joined by Jeff Mandel from Law Forward to talk, among many other things, about Josh Call, Wisconsin's Attorney General, yesterday filing charges against three of the lawyers and one advisor involved with the attempt for the Green Bay sweep.
It's about time.
Yeah, as it were. And they also are involved in a couple of other things. Shockingly, there are more efforts by some to continue to make it more difficult to vote absentee and all of those things. And You just kind of get the feeling that they don't want people voting.
They don't want any service members to vote, for sure.
Yeah, right? So we're going to talk about that coming up at 10:33 at 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public service announcement, as she always is. It's Pride Month. Dr. Hanks does a fair amount of work with the trans community, and she's going to have a medical student with her, Brittany, to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to also talk about a potential ban on contraception in the United States, which seems to be problematic.
If you don't believe in it, don't do it. It's not that hard, but making other people do it.
Also, want to remind you, next hour, you want to be listening for the word of the hour, because our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest is underway. You do need to download the Civic Media app.
Oh, no.
It's very easy.
Not a couple seconds of my day.
It is a couple seconds of your day. Okay. Go to wherever you get your apps and search for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C.
We have a beautiful, bold logo there.
We really do. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. So download the Civic Media app, and then that gives you the ability to call and text any station all across the state, any show. You can listen, you can call and text directly from the app. So next hour, when we give you the word, you want to text it to the app, through the app, rather, so you can be entered to win some of these really great prizes. Every hour that we play this, so we play it at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock. Every hour, somebody picks up a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack.
Oh, my.
Every day, one person picks up a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. You've used those seats.
Those are amazing seats.
They're good seats,
aren't
they?
If you have any chance to go see it, go do it.
And then there's going to be two grand prize winners who get to choose where they want to have their staycation, either in Fort Atkinson, that place has a pontoon boat.
Oh.
I know. Lake Geneva and in Door County. And regardless of whether you win one of the daily prizes or an hourly prize, everybody is entered to win the grand prizes.
That's fantastic.
I know. It's pretty cool. And so every hour that we play, yes, you can enter every hour that we play only once an hour. Again, 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock, and there's a different word every hour.
Yep.
And another way you can get, like, bonus entries. So when you do text in the word, you will get a confirmation text back.
And it will have a link on there.
Yes, it will. And if you follow that link, and all it asks you to do is to check on your voter status, right?
That's it.
That's it. We just want to make sure that you're registered to vote.
Yeah, that's it. I honestly don't care who you vote for either.
No, we just want people involved in the democratic process.
I would rather have everybody registered and everybody vote. That way we get a more, I don't know, accurate result and a good, better picture of what the people want.
But if you do that, then you also get like an extra entry.
That's pretty cool, too.
I know. And we have this kind of low-level competition going on with our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, who's on from noon to two. He smoked us on Monday.
He's a very nice man.
He's a wonderful man.
But I don't want Madison to hold that...
That distinction?
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, he smoked us on Monday. Yesterday, we had one more entry than he did.
That's good.
I know.
You know, that's all it takes is one more, and then you win.
So it's a start.
Take it from other winners. They found, like the Republicans, who understand that 50 plus one equals winning. So if you get the plus one, you've won.
It just gives you an extra entry.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So, again, be listening right after the 11 o'clock news at 11:06, we will have the word of the hour for our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest that's coming up at 11:06. Going to start off with where we kind of started yesterday. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call filed felony forgery charges against two attorneys and the aide who helped submit paperwork falsely saying that Donald Trump had won in 2020. The state charges are the first to come in Wisconsin after other separate charges were brought in Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, and Georgia. What jumped out at me yesterday? I was on what used to be Twitter, as I frequently am, and Wisconsin's very own senior U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, of course, weighing in on this decision by Attorney General Josh Call to file
brilliant these. Legal mind that he is.
He is. On Twitter yesterday, Ron Johnson said, "This is outrageous. Uh-huh. Now Democrats are weaponizing Wisconsin's judiciary." Uh-huh. Here's the money line. "Apparently conservative lawyers advising clients is illegal under Democrat tyranny." Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds really dramatic.
What I take away from this, and I'm not a lawyer. We're kind of lawyer adjacent. Yeah. Maggie is a lawyer.
And Jim Santel is a lawyer. We have a lot of resources available.
We do. It is my understanding that an attorney cannot advise their clients to break the law.
That's literally the basis of being an attorney.
You can't do that.
That's why you're a counsel. That's why you have legal counsel so that they can advise you not to break the law and what the law is. In fact, that's why we have this system of passing the bar so that you can know what is legal and what is illegal and show it proficiently enough to be able to represent other people in legal matters. That is the definition of being a lawyer. And so if you give somebody advice like Jim Troupas, mm-hmm. like Mike Roman, and like Kenneth Chesbra did, that is illegal and, in fact, grounds for disbarment. That is not anything to do with whether I think Trump won the election or did not. It has nothing to do with any sort of politics whatsoever. It's literally the definition of being an attorney. And what they advised to do was to break the law.
And they're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that. That's it.
Yeah.
And again, I don't understand how this wasn't like, I've met Josh Call several times and the devil, when the devils were interviewing him and when he was running and everything, and then this fake electors happen and other people are charging and I've seen him and I'm like,
hello, what are you doing, dude?
And
any day now would be nice.
Now it, man.
But it finally came.
Finally, it happened.
It finally came.
Well, I'm at a musical, but it came out.
If you would like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We would love to hear from you. I shouldn't get as much pleasure out of this as I do. But again, Ron Johnson saying after Josh Call issuing these felony charges, Democrats weaponizing Wisconsin's judiciary. Apparently, conservative lawyers advising clients is illegal under Democrat tyranny. No, Ron, you just can't tell them to break the law when you're advising
them. It's funny that they'll talk about weaponizing the law once they lost the majority in the Supreme Court. Because they had no problems doing things like...
You mean the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Yes, Wisconsin
Supreme Court. Oh, yeah.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court...
Everything was good.
It was totally fine with the... They were so mad at Hagedorn for thinking about, you know, the law. And, you know, Hagedorn surprised me. He's a religious zealot. And I thought he was going to be super far right. And the guy actually looked in the mirror and said, God, I'm here to do the law. And the law says this. So he actually did the thing that he's supposed to do. And... All the conservatives are so mad at Hagedorn for being, I don't know, judicial.
Yeah, he surprised me on several occasions, actually.
But up until then, all it was is just partisan hackery. They had Michael Gableman, for sake, in there as if he's going to do it. Like, they would bring cases that just everyone should have recused on them. The Scott Walker broke... campaign finance laws, and they basically just said, squash it, bury it, get
make
away.
Make it go away.
Mm-hmm. And then Ron Johnson has the audacity to talk about weaponizing the Supreme Court. Do not get me started or the rest of the people. We don't have enough time on this show to go through the weaponization of the right in the Wisconsin Supreme Court alone.
Gavin, we have a little clip from Wisconsin's senior senator, do we not? He was being asked about his participation in trying to get this list of false electors to the vice president. And, of course, he didn't have anything to do with it. Calvin, hit that clip.
You know, I was not involved in this at all.
Well, it was okay. Then it became, I only touched it for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't know. But if I did know, then I didn't know. But what it was that I did not know.
Yeah.
So do you not know what's going on in the business? Is the person handling your business doing stuff that you don't know about? Maybe you should get your house in order, Ron Johnson, if you don't know what's going on or what files are being presented to you.
I also think that folks should remember, especially if you decide to be an attorney, you can get disbarred. Just talk to Jenna Ellis.
Uh-huh.
She's lost her law license.
And what did Jenna
Eastman, has Eastman lost his law license yet?
It depends.
And I think didn't
I
and
can't
Rudy,
say that off the head.
And Rudy Giuliani, I believe.
Rudy Giuliani is facing it in several different areas because you can pass the bar in several different states.
True.
So I'm presuming he's just going one by one and getting them just knocked out. But I wouldn't. He has a hard time holding it together.
You think?
Yes. I wouldn't hire Rudy Giuliani to do a lot of things. May have done some really cool things with RICO laws in the past, but.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. And now he can't even remember. I'm not an expert on the facts yet, but I'm getting there. You're supposed to be the expert on the facts. You're advising the president. Maybe you should know what you're talking about.
855-752-4842 if you want to join us. 855-75-CIVIC. When we return, oopsies for the RNC. Oh, I can totally see how that confusion happened. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is... coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We are experiencing a stretch of severe weather in Wisconsin. 22 tornadoes were reported over 4 different days. This includes the strongest one that ripped through Evansville area, marking the first time that a tornado ever touched down during the month of February in Wisconsin. Now, we typically average 23 tornadoes during an entire year and recorded 21 in 2023. But we've already surpassed last year. And what's considered to be the most severe weather months of June and July are still ahead of us. One more thing, forecasters are predicting a shift to a La Nina climate pattern in July, meaning our severe weather season could be longer and more damaging than ever. Information you need to be sure you and your family are always weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Brian Kelly in for Greg Bach, who's still under the weather, and Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward joining us after the 10:30 news, going to talk about Josh Call yesterday issuing felony charges against two lawyers, and a campaign aide for their role in trying to get the fake electors from Wisconsin to Vice President Mike Pence. So we will be talking about that, along with a couple of other things that are on the radar with Law Forward. So stick around for that. And also, if you have a smart speaker, which I do not, but I know many people do, if you have a smart speaker, you can always just say, play WAUK.
Hey, Alexa.
Hey, Alexa.
Play WAUK.
Or, hey, Alexa, play WISS.
Yeah.
Those all work.
And they might be working for you now.
Even inadvertently, yes.
Just make sure it doesn't order cords of wood for you.
Can she do that?
It happened overhearing a conversation in another room. Someone got a whole, like, bunch
cord of wood. Oh, man.
Let's send it to them.
All right. Headline that we're jumping off of here. A Republican Party uses picture of Ho Chi Minh City for a GOP convention in Milwaukee. Yes, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, has a website now for the convention, which is coming up in July. And Boston Globe reporter Sam Brody was looking for information on the website, and he noticed that the skyline did not look like it was the skyline of Milwaukee. So he posted on Twitter about it and took a screenshot, and in about 30 minutes, they took it down.
Oh, but so they are aware of their own website.
They are aware of their own website.
Oh, very nice.
Apparently just not what's on their own website.
Okay. So I'm trying to decide whether this is just incompetence or they're trying to say something about the socialist past of Milwaukee inadvertently.
Oh, do you really think that's they're that deep?
I'm kind of trying to hope that they are. I mean, really, it's just, how do you not just send one of your peons out to take a picture and upload it? Oh, wait, I'm not sure that they have, one, the ability to do that, but two, I'm not sure they have enough peons.
Well, they don't have any campaign offices set up yet, from what I understand. They might have offices, but I don't know that they're staffed right now. Because the RNC is having big money problems.
Oh, good. I wonder why.
And that's such an interesting question.
So I feel like the campaign finances for the RNC were taken over by someone named Trump.
That would be Lara Trump, his daughter-in-law.
Lara Trump. Yeah, that sounds very similar to another president I've heard.
It does.
Wow. So they seem to have not good money flow unless they're going to. So basically, the only way the RNC is going to get money is if they roll out a red carpet and make it a Donald Trump festival. If they don't, they're not going to get any money. That's kind of how it's going to work.
Yeah, pretty much. But I just find it, like you said, Brian, you can do a Google search for the skyline of Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure the first thing to come up is not going to be Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah, you don't even have to, like, hire anyone to do it. You could do it yourself. I could walk you through it on the, give me a call, I'll walk you through it. It'd take maybe 5 minutes.
According to this Boston Globe reporter, the page now does have an image of the host city of Milwaukee, not Ho Chi Minh City. But of course they did take a screenshot of it. So now it will live forever. Ho Chi Minh City has a population of over 9 million people with more than two dozen high-rise buildings.
That's larger than Chicago.
Yeah. Milwaukee, home to about 563,000 people, has under a dozen high-rises. But, you know, it's just all the best people. Trump said that from the very... He would surround himself with all...
How does it happen not on purpose?
All the really best people.
How does that happen not on purpose?
To have the wrong
Did
picture?
You just type in skyline?
And I like this one better.
I like this skyline. And in your mind, you said Milwaukee, so you thought it was fine? Like, how do you mess up that search so hard?
All the best people, Brian.
I don't get... Like, that's... This is going to bother me. Like, it's going to sit in my head. Like, and I'm gonna sit there and I'll be up in the middle of the night. Like, how did that happen?
How did
I
you
have
do that?
To know how it actually happened. I need to know the actual story.
Well, let's not forget that when Bill O'Reilly was still on Fox News and they were covering the protests in Madison that were happening in February, and they showed some footage that showed how violent the protesters were being, and there are palm trees in the background.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the Madison palm trees.
Madison palm tree. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right by the Capitol.
That's why you got them in the background.
David from San Francisco is on the line. Good morning, David. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Oh, yeah, morning. Well, it crossed my mind. If you remember, Donald Trump basically was having rallies all over the country. I remember it, especially during COVID, but probably before, where he would hire a big amphitheater, he would hire various things, and he would never pay them. So the cities all across America were getting stiffed.
Yep.
And especially red cities. You know, I remember, was it Tulsa down in Oklahoma, where oh, good grief. Who was the pizza guy that...
Where he got COVID and then he died.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that city got stiffed. They hired a big amphitheater. They violated their own rules. That was during COVID, of course. And they had a 6-foot distance rule. The city mandated it. And there were photographs of the Trump staffers taking out the signs about the 6-foot rule. And so you would think that it would have set them up for a huge lawsuit for violating the health and safety laws. But so if Milwaukee is inviting this jerk in and they're going to get stiffed, you know, who's in charge in Milwaukee that's allowing somebody who, a notorious grifter is coming to town and as if the city is encouraging it?
Thank you so much, David. Really appreciate the call. David from San Francisco joining us. I don't disagree with you, but I also believe that this happens on both sides to some extent. And we can ask Todd Alba about this because he's been in politics. But I think both Democratic campaigns and Republican campaigns have a tendency not to pay all of their bills.
Well, the thing is with all the campaigns is that they're only there for a short time. They're basically set up businesses for just maybe a year or two.
It's like a pop-up.
To pop up for a little bit and then they go away. So once they're gone away, they're like, well, we don't really exist anymore. So
who are you going to get the money from?
And besides, we have a whole bunch of legal fees we have to use our campaign finances for.
And that's where that money is going to be going.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Stay close. News is coming up next. And don't forget, next hour, our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest will give you the word you need to text in via the Civic Media app right after the 11 o'clock news. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Thursday's 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion finds President Biden in Europe to take part in commemorations.
President Biden kicks off his visit to France, a trip the White House is calling extremely moving and important. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
An opportunity for him to say thank you directly to the veterans who saved democracy, saved the free world, and set the stage for the decades of peace and prosperity that followed.
The president meets with veterans who participated in the D-Day landing, and he'll deliver a speech that Sullivan says will focus on the sacrifices made 80 years ago and how there's an obligation to continue that mission to fight for freedom.
ABC's Karen Travers. Responding to a fire in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park, Illinois, firefighters found the bodies of two men, brothers, shot to death. They needed 60 votes. They got 51. The Senate failing to pass the Right to Contraception Act that would have guaranteed contraception nationwide. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Maxwell Anderson, the man charged with murdering and dismembering Sade Robinson, appeared in court on Wednesday. Robinson's family has filed a wrongful death civil suit. Anderson will remain in custody and is set to appear in court again in July. The Better Business Bureau has released a new online toolkit to help people recover from being scammed. Internet scams harm people financially and emotionally. The BBB cited research showing people feel angry, anxious, isolated, or ashamed after being scammed.
A lot of them don't even want to admit it to their close friends and family, and they feel so alone and like they're the only ones that have experienced it and don't realize that there's thousands upon thousands of people that have experienced the very same scam, let alone all of the different scams that are out there.
The online toolkit encourages people to report scams and share stories from fellow scam survivors. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Looking for a new show with a dash of retro? Here's one of Pete's picks. If you haven't seen it yet, check out The Wire. The HBO show that hit the airwaves this week in 2002 still holds up today and is often mentioned as a contender for the best episodic show ever. The Wire is set in Baltimore and shows the financial challenges the underfunded Baltimore police and city government face. All five seasons are available on Max. It's time for a trip to Flavor Country. Flavor Flav went into a Red Lobster and ordered everything on the menu in an effort to try to save the entire chain. The restaurant recently filed for bankruptcy and announced it will close many stores. In a related story, there's been an influx of lobsters at local pet shelters. None of the closings sat well with Flavor, who posted a picture of himself standing in front of every menu item. He did his best, but still left shortly after with the biggest doggy bag ever. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers, even some rumbles of thunder here in the overnight. Upper 50s by daybreak. West winds on the breezy side. In fact, that breeze stays up on Thursday. More showers developing in the afternoon. Increasing clouds with highs reaching the middle 60s. Right now, it's 58.
This Veterans Day salute is brought to you by Gill Liquor. Gill Liquor is proud to honor Americans from every walk of life and generation who served their country when duty called. As we celebrate Veterans Day, let us pause to remember all that America's veterans have done to preserve freedom. Gill Liquor would like to thank our members of the Armed Forces, open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a great selection of beer, wine, and alcohol. That's Gill Liquor, 1117 Commercial Street in Nina.
Mino and the Mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. You like it here. You're going to stay here. Your kids are young.
Yeah, 6 and 4. Yeah.
Boys or girls?
Boy and a girl.
I sent you a card when you had
Yeah. Thank you. He sent me a card when I had Vince. Oh, and Vince. Said, I think Vince. Either your dad or you will be mayor one day in the city. We still have it somewhere, for sure. Yeah.
I love it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Johnny's off, so Shannon Cohen from the New Community Shelter sits in as my co-host, and we'll feature Jim Collar from the Fox Cities Experience Music Festival. He'll give us a rundown on all the music that will be featured in Menasha this weekend.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Brian Kelly in for the ailing Greg Bach and Calvin Butenhoff. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join the conversation. You can call and text at the same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because, like, Law & Order SVU is played, like, 24/7 all the time. I used to feed my daughter. She'd feed for, like, literally the amount of time that was one episode, to the point where, like, when that came on, she'd look up at the TV. Like, she has a Pavlov response. But I laugh because at that moment of the do-do-do-do-do-do, that's when the word molestation goes across the screen. And I'm like, pretty much 24/7, and anyone could turn on the TV and see the word molestation go across the screen.
Law and Order SVU.
Oh, SVU.
All right.
That's why I was laughing.
We are very happy to be joined by our guest from Law Forward. Jeff Mandel is here. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for making time to join us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call yesterday filing felony charges against Jim Troupas, Ken Chesbro, and also Mike Roman, who was a campaign aide, for essentially committing felony fraud in submitting this slate of fake electors. We were laughing before you joined us, Jeff, about Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson saying that this is terrible and this now, you know, the Democrats are completely overdoing the rule of law. They're weaponizing Wisconsin's judiciary. Conservative lawyers advising a client is apparently illegal under Democrat tyranny. I'm not a lawyer. Brian's not a lawyer. We're pretty sure, even as non-lawyers, lawyers don't get to tell their clients to break the law. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right. Lawyers do not get to get a free pass if they advise clients to do things that are fraudulent. And here, it's far more than that, because what we showed through litigation over the last 2 years is that it's not just that you had lawyers in Wisconsin advising the Wisconsin fraudulent electors to submit these fake papers. But the entire scheme started here in Wisconsin. It happened in 7 states across the country, but it began here, and it wouldn't have happened anywhere else if it hadn't begun here. And we've laid all of this out with all of the documents and the key pieces on a clear, easy-to-read timeline, which is at our website, lawforward.org.
We will put a link to that in our show notes. After the show is over, Calvin will get that up and we'll include the link if anybody wants to follow that up and look at it in detail.
You should.
You really should, because, again, there's going to be all these false claims about lawyers can't advise their clients because Democrats are tyrants, and that just isn't accurate. It's just not.
It's not accurate at all. And it's a pretty amazing story. One of the challenges is that when we brought our civil lawsuit in 2022, there isn't a specific civil statute that says you can't do this, because no one had ever thought to do something this audacious. No one had ever thought to try to steal a presidential election in this way. And we then had to come up with analogies, essentially, to other kinds of wrongdoing that the legislature had thought to make illegal, so that we could explain to a court exactly what happened. But everyone who looks carefully at this story, everyone who understands that you've got 10 people who decided that they knew better than 3.3 million of their neighbors, and that they were just going to change the results of Wisconsin's election and thereby try to change the results of the entire national presidential election, it's really outrageous. It's almost the stuff of fiction. And it's really great to see that finally we're seeing some accountability here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the last state of the states where this happened to step up and bring criminal charges.
Which is so interesting, because, as you pointed out, Jeff, that this is where the whole scheme started, and it was called the Green Bay Sweep, right?
There are places where they've called it that. It began here. The architects of this were here. And again, if you look at this timeline that we've posted on our website, you can see specifically the emails. The memos were written for Wisconsin and then sent to Washington and to the Trump campaign saying, hey, this is what we want to do. And by the way, if we do it here, you can do it in other states.
Now, here's a question for you, and it's about wording. What I understand is that when they were putting these together, Cheeseboro advised that we say, in the case of Trump winning, in the language of what they were writing up, which they left out. But there's emails and I believe text to the evidence that they were advising to say if Trump won, because if they did that, that would make this process legal. But by saying these are the actual electors,
that's where the fraud came in.
That's where the fraud came in. And that also speaks to intent and knowledge that they are doing something illegal. Is that am I explaining that correctly?
Yeah, you're on the right path. Let's not give Mr. Chesbro more credit than he deserves. But so here's what happened. There were seven states in the United States where there were these alternate or fraudulent certificates turned in. In two of those states, in Pennsylvania and in New Mexico, the papers had sort of a caveat that said, well, we're not the duly elected presidential electors, but if a court says we are, then you should know this is how we would vote. And in five states, including Wisconsin, there was no such language. And I agree with you that that's what makes it fraudulent. I think that with a caveat, it becomes sort of unwise and a little bit reckless if there's no reason to think a court is going to change the results. But I can understand it. What happened with Chesbro and why he and his lawyers like to say that he advised that that be true everywhere is this did not initiate with Chesbro or the lawyers. Mr. Chesbro prepared the papers for the electors to sign in all seven states. In Pennsylvania, the electors themselves pushed back and said, hey, we're not going to do this. We're very concerned that our state attorney general, who's now their state governor, Josh Shapiro, will go after us if we do this. So we're going to add this language that says we're not really the electors. Chesbro then sort of very gently suggests to a Trump campaign attorney, Mike Roman, who was also charged yesterday here in Wisconsin, hey, this isn't a terrible idea. Maybe we should consider adding this to all of the states. And Roman immediately and firmly shuts that down.
Yep.
He says no, and then he actually at one point says, fuck those guys. And that's in yesterday's criminal complaint. The text message exchange with exactly that language is in the documents that the attorney general filed yesterday here in Wisconsin. And Chesbro did not bring it up again. So I wouldn't say that he advised that was the right way to do it. He sort of floated the idea when it was shut down. He said, oh, okay, then we'll do it the way that I had already written all of these papers. And he was here in Wisconsin, in the room where the 10 fraudulent electors met in Wisconsin.
Yes.
He actually videotaped the whole thing.
Yes.
And the video is also on our website.
Jeff Mandel is here from Law Forward, and we're talking about Attorney General Josh Call's decision to charged Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Trupas, along with campaign aide Mike Roman, for committing felonies, essentially, with the whole fake elector scheme. What I find so interesting, too, Jeff, Anderson Cooper had Andrew Hitt on, who was among the fake electors, talking about this. Andrew Hitt said, we got specific advice from our lawyers. These documents were meaningless unless a court said they had meaning. Cooper says, so you're deciding to sign this document and getting the other electors to sign this based on a court challenge you yourself don't believe has legitimacy. Hitt says, I wouldn't say it doesn't have legitimacy. That's different than not personally agreeing with it. And essentially, Andrew Hitt says, I did it because if the court did agree that Trump won, then I would have been solely responsible for the fact that he lost Wisconsin.
Look, I don't know exactly who Mr. Hitt's talking about when he talks about the advice from his lawyers, because Mr. Trupas and Mr. Chesbro were not his lawyers. They were the campaign's lawyers. Mr. Hitt at the time was the head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and he could be talking about the Republican Party's lawyers. He could be talking about campaign lawyers. But we have seen you know, through the discovery process in our litigation against the 10 fraudulent electors and Mr. Troupas and Mr. Chesbrough, we have seen email correspondence. We have seen text messages. All of that material is publicly, we've made all that material publicly available. It's all on our website. And I don't think that you will find exactly what Mr. Hitt is describing. Ultimately, he led this meeting. He encouraged he himself and he encouraged the other nine to sign these papers that said we are the duly elected presidential electors for the state of Wisconsin when they knew that wasn't true. And even an hour before they signed those papers, the Wisconsin Supreme Court had issued a final binding decision that said that Biden won the election. As part of our settlement with them, they have acknowledged that Biden won the election and that these papers were wrongly used. And it's Mr. Hitt personally who signed off on them being sent to Washington later in that week. So, you know, I don't want to get in a dispute about what he did say to Anderson Cooper, but it doesn't seem to me to line up with the documents.
And to that point, I want to hit home again. 10 people plus a couple folks nationwide decided that your vote, no matter what, where it lied, did not matter. We're going to do this. Can you speak to the arrogance within discovery, within evidence, just the arrogance behind this scheme, the thought that it does not matter what anybody in this state thought, it does not matter who won, we're going to do this, that there's a certain arrogance of we are these better people and we know better for the country. And I can you speak to that in the discovery process, in finding evidence and the language that these people used?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's what's most striking. In 2020, as I said earlier, nearly 3.3 million people voted in Wisconsin. That's an all-time record turnout for the state of Wisconsin. And the idea that these 10 people just decided that it didn't matter what the will of the people was, what most of their neighbors thought, is truly shocking, because what we believe here in America and the way our democracy works is that the majority rules. What I would say in response to your question about the discovery specifically is what is most shocking and galling about this is actually that there's no discussion about that in in the emails or in the text messages. There's no recognition about the sweeping assumptions, and it really is just bald arrogance that these people were displaying, and they don't even talk about it.
Wow.
It is
a stunning level of confidence, I guess, and again, arrogance that, yeah, we know best and we know how this should go. And, you know, so we throw out, because it would have been like 200,000 votes, wouldn't it, Jeff?
Well, I mean, what they were really trying to say is it doesn't matter. They would have been overriding the will of the nearly 3.3 million Wisconsinites who voted, because the way our system works, right, is we think that when you go into the election day and you cast your vote, you're really voting for one of the candidates for president, but you're not. You are voting for the slate of electors, right, who are pledged to support that candidate, and whose votes will actually be counted on behalf of the state when Congress meets to elect to count the electoral votes. And the other piece that we haven't talked about this morning is all of this is tied directly to the insurrection on January 6th, because that insurrection, as people were roaming the halls and shouting, "Hang Mike Pence,"
yep,
they were angry at then Vice President Pence because they wanted him to do something. And what was that something? What they wanted him to do was to count these fraudulent votes from these seven states, including Wisconsin. And he was not willing to do so. And that's why they were so angry. So without these votes, without these fraudulent certificates, there never would have been an insurrection. What you would have had was a perfectly appropriate protest outside the Capitol of people who were unhappy about the election results and then would have gone home and organized harder for the next election to elect their candidate.
We're going to keep our discussion going with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 855-752-4842. Our statewide text to win Scani Summer. The word coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to share a practical hack that I use to manage my spending. It's my wish list. A wish list is just a note I keep in my phone where I write down all the things I want to buy, but I don't have a plan or a budget to buy. You know, like stuff I see randomly on Instagram or TikTok, or these new shoes that my BFF just got that I am totally obsessed about. My wish list does two things. First, it gives me a place to put that feeling of want instead of just pulling out my credit card. And second, it gives me time to decide if I really want it. And then, if I can afford it. I revisit my wish list once a week or so. I take a look at every single thing on there, and then I pick if I want to find the budget for that thing or if I'm going to, you know, let it go. And I will tell you that mostly I end up letting things go. So if you're looking to cut back on spending, try making a wish list. This is Carrie Joy, and that has been your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Fancy Brian Kelly in for Greg Bach and Calvin on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text same number 855-752-4842 or you can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We did have a comment from Sherry. We were talking about the Republicans essentially deciding, yeah, we won the election and we're going to throw out all these votes. And we just decided that we won. Sherry says, I guess that means I win the summer contest then because she decided that she did.
Oh, yeah.
Just and like the Republicans. Yep, Sherry, I guess you did.
Sherry, what I would do is ruin the entire contest for everyone by filing a lawsuit and making sure that, you know,
no one else can enter.
No one else can enter or that all the other people's entries are invalid. Based on your feelings.
That's excellent idea. Mm-hmm. Jeff, you guys will take that on at Law Forward, right? You are involved in a couple of other things, though, that we wanted to get to in the, 7 or 8 minutes we have left. Talk about the Brown case.
Sure. So there is, as you and your listeners probably are aware, a concerted effort in this state to use litigation to make it harder for people to vote. And harder for people to participate in elections, which are just the foundation of our democracy. And so Law Forward, on behalf of a variety of clients, is standing up and fighting back against these. The Brown case is out of Racine County. It is now pending at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And this is a case, it's an effort to make it harder for people to participate in what the law calls in-person absentee voting, but most of us think of as early voting, when you can go and vote before Election Day in person somewhere. There was a lawsuit almost a decade ago. The legislature had made it so that in each municipality in the state of Wisconsin, whether that's a tiny little township that only has 40 or 50 people, or it's the city of Milwaukee with hundreds of thousands of residents, that in each municipality there could be only one early voting location. And a federal court said, no, that's unconstitutional. And it violates a number of laws and you can't do that. And the legislature agreed with that and actually passed a specific statutory provision that says you can have as many early voting sites in your municipality as you would like. But the Brown case is an effort to really backdoor municipalities only being able to have one site, saying, well, it still says in the statutes it has to be as close to the clerk's office as possible. So unless all of your locations are across the street from the clerk's office, then you can't do this. It's pretty ridiculous. The judge in Racine rejected a number of the arguments. It did accept one about sort of political party advantage. And we're up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court with others trying to get that knocked down. And we filed our opening brief in the court just on Monday, and I'm confident that case will work out.
Jeff, what is their complaint? Like, if I get
too many people are voting early.
Like, if I get my arm broken by someone, I go, "You broke my arm. I'm bringing litigation against you." What was the harm done here? What is happening? What is the problem?
Well, that's actually, you know, a really important question, and it's underlying a number of these cases. And I'm hoping that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to use the Brown case to give some clarity, because it is one thing, as you say, if your municipal clerk administers elections in a way that makes it harder for you to vote in a violation of the election law, then you have been injured and you should be able to go to court and get the election law clarified. But if, by contrast, what it is you simply don't like the way that someone else is voting, you have not been injured. You yourself still got to vote in the way you wanted to. And what we're seeing in these cases all over the state over the last few years is individuals standing up and saying, I'm bringing a lawsuit because I don't like how other people vote. And I don't believe that those cases belong in court. And we are... you know, that was one of the main issues before the Supreme Court in this Brown case, because Mr. Brown was not injured here.
But you're right. That is the logic of it is I was not injured. I got to vote, but my guy lost. Right?
Correct. And that's not an actual claim that you should be able to bring in court.
The folks that do this are the same folks that the second that anything is brought up about the courts go, all these frivolous lawsuits and the courts, all the red tape and frivolous lawsuits. And literally, this is the most frivolous. I don't like it, so I'm litigating.
But, you know, that's exactly what happened in the Tigan case 2 years ago that got rid of drop boxes in Wisconsin. We took deposition testimony from the two plaintiffs, Mr. Tigan and Mr. Tom. Neither one of them had ever used a drop box. Neither one of them had ever voted absentee. Neither one of them really knew much about this. And there's no way in which they were actually being harmed. And so hopefully, there are a number of cases where this issue is lurking, but hopefully the Brown case is one where the Supreme Court will clearly state what basic level of harm allows someone to bring a lawsuit about election administration and what doesn't, because we're seeing a lot of these nonsense lawsuits around the state brought by people who have not suffered any problem at all.
Jeff Mandel is our guest from Law Forward, talking about all kinds of things going on in Wisconsin regarding making it essentially harder for people to vote. I don't know if you saw this, Jeff, and we didn't have a chance to talk about this before we got on the air, but Urban Milwaukee has a big article, too, about lawsuit complicates absentee voting in Wisconsin, asking a Marinette County Circuit Court judge to require voters who get their ballot through My Vote to return a signed copy of the request with the actual absentee ballot. And again, this is just more, to me, trying to muck up the process, slow down the process, do things just based on semantics and little words to make it harder for people to vote.
I think that's exactly right. And there, you know, on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and Disability Rights Wisconsin, we have intervened in that case. Again, you've got a plaintiff who has not been prevented from voting, who has not suffered any harm, who's simply trying to make it harder for other people to vote. You know, that case too, like these others, will work its way through the system, and we're there standing up for the rights of people to vote. If I could, Jane, I'd like to end with one piece of good news, though.
Yes, about voting. Please.
And that is this, you know, we fought for years against the rigged maps in this state, and we have fair maps for the 2024 election for the first time in basically a decade and a half. And just this week, we saw on Monday was the deadline for candidates who want to run for office to file nomination papers with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And what we saw that's great is a record number for the at least for recent years. There are more contested districts. There are more candidates. There are going to be more real elections. And that's what fair maps are about. It's not about advantaging one party or the other. It's about making sure the people get to choose. And that's going well.
Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so very much, Jeff. I know we will be reaching out again. I hope you can join us in a month or so and keep us updated on all the shenanigans going on in Wisconsin. Stay
Thank
close.
You so much.
News is next. And when we return, the word of the hour for our Scotty summer.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to Wisconsin Women in Conservation. They're having a field day you need to know about. J.R. Radcliffe with sports and Brittany Merlot for weather and wine. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.